In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be seated. I'm not used to doing all things. Reading the gospel, shifting over here, and moving everything. Taking me a little while to get back and used to that. It is good to see you all. I mean, really see you all. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Even though I got a chance to visit with you all last year, a little bit in an informal session, it's good to be with you all. My wife sends her regrets. We were on vacation out of the country, only to return to have to move our daughter from one apartment in Charlotte to another. So she is the one, since she can't do the work of a bishop, she's moving furniture, and I'm the one preaching. So I'm sorry that you got this side of the deal. I was recently, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in a bakery in Asheville, and I couldn't believe how many choices of bread there were. I actually took a picture, a screenshot of the menu, because I couldn't believe some of what I was reading. Here is just a sample of what was available. Banana nut bread, chocolate cherry bread, 10 grain bread, rye with caraway, blue corn tortilla bread, cheddar cheese and jalapeno bread, Italian loaf, ricotta cheese and roasted garlic. I mean, there was at least 35 breads that you could choose from. Now, I will tell you that I did not see a classic listed, what I consider to be a classic. I contend that in the absence of any official survey or any market research, I think it's reasonable to believe that the most popular bread and the most eaten bread is white bread. Not the most healthy bread. But you know that wonderful squishy bread that has that consistent, predictable color, and it has that flavor that is so bland that it's good. It's like the perfect setting for peanut butter and jelly, am I right? Or a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich? Or in my case, when I was a kid, mayonnaise sandwiches. Don't judge until you try it. Nobody? Why do I talk about bread? Well, because this morning, we begin the chapter 6 of John with just the beginning of what is going to be the bread of life discourse that you will hear for weeks to come. It's also in the last verse, the very first of the I am statements that you hear from Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. And today he says, I am the bread of life. Bread is central to our life. It's central not only here in our country, but I'm sure as you've traveled the world that you have seen it is central in many cultures and communities. That bread that is mixed and baked with love and care and taken out of the oven to be savored and enjoyed. Bread composed of really simple ingredients when you think about it, yet it always seems to have the most complex and wonderful taste. Bread that not only feeds the body, but it nourishes the heart. As a good friend of mine likes to call bread, soul food. And like many other foods, whenever someone tries to replicate the recipe, it just never seems to turn out quite the same, does it? The same stuff, the same ingredient, has rendered a different result. It's amazing how the same thing can be experienced in vastly different ways by any number of people. That's true with bread, it's true with food, and it's certainly true with our faith. Such is the case that we read in the gospel this morning. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Truth be told, that's actually a difficult saying. It's actually been a matter of lots of theological debate. Lots of people have spent a lot of time trying to do intellectual interpretations of that particular phrase from Jesus. Indeed, this passage that we hear this morning and the one that you will hear in weeks to come has caused a lot of conversation. What do you mean that you're the bread that comes down from heaven? And that this bread is your flesh given for the life of the world? Is it about transubstantiation where the bread and wine no longer retain the properties and become totally flesh and blood? Or is it consubstantiation, what our church teaches? If you will, spiritual union, where Christ is present in, with, and under the elements of bread and wine. Is it real presence? Or is it simply just a memorial taken in remembrance of Jesus? We don't understand, and maybe that explains why so many have so many different approaches surrounding the Eucharistic meal. But one thing we do know, it is central to who we are. Because I believe at the very heart of that sacrament is the demand for community. It's a demand for love of one another. And it's a demand for reconciliation. It is a representation of our call to live as people of God in a certain way. Now, I have to tell you, it's something that I think I have become more aware of in the past 16 months. We've all experienced over this time our share of highs and lows. It has been a challenge. Many people have faced many hardships. I have dealt with people who have lost jobs, who have lost homes, who have lost loved ones. In fact, my own executive assistant, my former executive assistant, died from COVID. And I admit that in the midst of so much grief and tension and fear and death, I've not always liked what I do. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that on a couple occasions I went online to look up what it would take to become a truck driver. During the past year, I realized that I spent so much time focusing on the big things, the agenda that I was elected on, all the things that I knew I was here to accomplish, all the plans that I just saw squandered away in 2020. All the things that I wanted to see for this diocese. But you see, the problem was that, is that I overlooked the very obvious. It wasn't about the institution. It wasn't about the building. It was about who we are as community, whether we're in the building or out. And you know what it took to make that realized to me? My daughter giving me a cinnamon roll. Simply, she was doing college from home. And one day, she brought me the cinnamon roll. And in that little gesture, in that hard day, in the midst of so much that was going on, that simple gesture hit me as the bread of life and as the bread that we come together to share, regardless of who you are, in that little simple pastry was a recognition of something much bigger. This tie, this connection. It didn't matter what my plans were. It didn't matter whether I accomplished something or not. Because you see, it all comes back to what it represents. Community. That central meal. About what it means to live each day with Christ at the center. The bread of life. In all that we do. And how we choose to live together as people of faith. That's what we're hearing about this morning. See, in today's gospel, using the comparison of the daily bread to the bread of life, Jesus is asking us this question. What does it look like to be nourished in Christ? And more importantly, I think, what daily spiritual meals do we need for ourselves? And what spiritual meals do we need to share with others? One of the important things to understand about this passage from John is that no church body, no church institution, no bishop can claim exclusive rights to the bread of heaven. No church can claim exclusive rights to Jesus' flesh and blood redeemed for all, because those are for Jesus and Jesus only to give. And to give freely for all. And it's not If you do a little study, it's not hard to believe that in the time that St. John was writing this gospel, early Christians had already begun. They had already begun to connect Jesus' words, claiming to be the bread of life, to their sacramental understanding of communion, and more importantly, what it meant as a way of life. Just as they experienced Jesus as man, they saw Jesus as more than man, more than just bread. It was a sign of the very presence of God in their midst. To receive the sacrament was to realize the love of God in Christ and fill in their lives in a very profound way. The bread of life is always center when we come together, when we come to this table. We are reminded that Jesus, the bread of life, is always at the heart and center of our community. If you look in the Book of Common Prayer and the Articles of Faith, Article 28 talks about Holy Communion in our church. And one of the things I love in our church, this is part of what it says about the Eucharist. The Supper of the Lord is a sign of the love that Christians ought to have among themselves, one to another. Should read it, page 873 for future reference. You see, when we gather at the Eucharistic table, when we come together as a community, when we eat the same bread, and we drink the wine, and we say, this is the body and blood of Christ, we have to recognize that we are becoming the living Christ right here and now. Our faith in Jesus is not a belief that Jesus, the Son of God, was just some historical figure long ago. This person who performed great miracles, presented wise teaching, died on the cross. It first of all means that we fully accept the truth that Jesus lives within us and that Jesus fills the divine mystery through us. In a few moments, when we gather with our hands outstretched with partakers of this tangible mystery, of Jesus, we recognize that the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, broken and poured out, is an outward and visible sign of the inward and invisible grace of God's gift of abundant life and love, which we all receive. All of us baptized into this life, so that we may have everlasting life. Jesus, the bread of life for the life of the world, is delivered fresh daily, never stale, in word, in worship, in the elements, in sitting together, visiting, in sitting with someone who is grieving, making a phone call to someone who is alone. That is how the bread of life is experienced each day. Jesus is that great bread of life who, like the great variety of breads in that bakery, is not so simple. It's not plain, but it's many textured. It's multifaceted, and it's complex in its flavor. Christ, the living bread that came down from heaven, lives within us. And we as disciples are called to be living bread for one another and for the world.